Local news, culture, and NPR.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the local edition on a Friday evening. I'm your host, Patricio Roballo. Thank you so much for joining me on this Friday. We made it through the week. Let's take a deep breath and get ourselves ready for the show. All right, you ready? Because we have a packed show for you today. Second half of the show, we'll learn about the fourth annual poetry festival that's happening at the Bethel Woods Festival for the Arts. It's happening at the end of this month. We're going to talk to the Sullivan County Poet Laureate to find all about it. But it's Friday on the Local Edition. Every Friday, we check in with the one and only Chris Rowley from the Shuangkok Journal. Chris, welcome back to the program. We have some, your first article that we want to talk about is basically like a crisis is happening with the emergency first responders, the EMS and the firefighters. You have a story that some things are coming down the pike that could help the local EMS branches. What can you tell us?
Yes, this is in the early stages, but it highlights a crisis all across the region for volunteer ambulance and emergency medical services. Everyone's known about this crisis for a long time. It comes in two forms. One, there's a lack of money. Two, there's a lack of people. Volunteers are desperately needed, but even more important to keep it all going is a need for money. So here's something that's happening in Ulster County. Okay, resolution number 102, which I believe will be voted on March the 18th this month, is to establish a policy, county policy, to fund, facilitate, perpetuate, support the operation of local emergency medical services, the EMSs, in and for the county of Ulster. And that cutting down a couple of pages of whereas, this, that, and the other, there's a lot of stuff for, in any county legislation. This is basically to come up with $5 million, and Ulster County is good for it right now. Ulster County has lots of money at the moment, to basically spread out amongst the ambulance services across the county and spread it out in proportion to the population they serve. So this will be good for Worsing Ellenville because they serve a pretty big one. Ellenville Fire and Rescue serves a pretty large population area. And others will do as well. The Cohonkson one will do well. So this is that issue of finding funding to keep volunteer emergency medical services functioning. Many people don't realize what a thin thread that is that's holding that together. And so this will thicken it up a bit. And so anyways, the town of Worsing passed a resolution to express support for the legislature's adoption of resolution number 102, which gets a little bit into kind of the weeds there, but it was important for the town board to show full support for this, not holding back at all, and to pass their own resolution in support of the county's effort or the county resolution. So that will all happen a little bit later this month. Right now, I believe it's being discussed at the Law Enforcement and Public Safety Committee, which I have not actually ever attended one of those, but they will be discussing this. But and then it will go to the Ways and Means Committee, where our county legislator, John Gavaris, who is the chair of that committee, he will be involved with it. So it all sounds very legal. It's all very resolutions and this and that. But ultimately, if it gets money, desperately needed money, to things like Ellenville Fire and Rescue, it will be very important. Got to keep those. Ambulances are incredibly expensive. All of this stuff is incredibly expensive these days. And to replace anything is, you know, could be a complete deal breaker. Giving them some money will help get them across the line, keep them going. And everybody who ever calls an ambulance or ever in a car accident and needs an ambulance, you will appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm sure definitely sure we appreciate it. You know, we talked about, like you said, the lack of funding and the shortage of volunteers is really critical to start keeping or to keep these services operational. And I'm sure, like you mentioned, like, we'll definitely benefit the Ellenville Fire and Rescue. And so please keep up to date. Let us know what's happening with this. Another story you have in the newspaper of the Shawangunk Journal, you have a story about a documentary about a really extreme long race. What can you tell us about this?
There's a film that's going to show on March the 14th in Ellenville at 9 Market Street, which is Paul Valinsky's studio, called 40 Below. And the film was produced by Cohoxton resident Melody Gilbert. She also curates the Borscht Belt Film Festival, but this is not part of that. This is something different. 40 Below is about the 2019 iteration of the Arrowhead 135. It's a 135-mile race in northern Minnesota from International Falls, which is always the coldest place in the continental United States, especially in January. 135-mile race from there down to, they go to Fortune Bay. I think that's on Lake Superior. Anyway, the race is very different from all the usual ultra marathon races. Like there's some pretty terrifying ones, like the Badwater 135. You may have heard of that if you've ever been involved at all in distance running. And that one is from Death Valley up onto Mount Whitney. And one of its startling features, other than the fact that it's in Death Valley and it's extremely hot, is that there's a climb of about 4,000 feet during the 135 miles of the race. But that's in warm conditions. And it has its own crises and its own extreme emergency aspects to it. But there's usually people around with water. There's usually help at hand for anybody who just keels over and falls down in the dust. That is not the case with the Arrowhead 135, which sets you off running through northern forest on a ski-mobile trail, which is 135 miles long and is crossed by, I believe it's only crossed by 3 roads at all in the whole 135 miles. So you're on your own largely. And there are 3 ways you can compete. You can ride on a fat wheel bicycle, or you can ski, or you can run. And there are different divisions and have different times and different records and all that. But most people who compete do so unsupported. That is, they're alone. They don't have anybody coming along with them to provide warm blankets and hot cups of cocoa. And it's a very interesting film. And I really recommend everybody who, if you've got the time, drop by 9 Market Street. That's at the corner with Center Street, Market Street, Center Street. And that will be, what time is that going to be? Oh, it's going to be at 7 p.m. on Friday, next Friday. I definitely want to see this. This sounds really amazingly terrifying.
Very terrifying. Just to be alone for that long with no help is just, wow.
Yeah, out there in the dark woods.
Yeah.
And there's one quote that I had to include from somewhere else because I found it was this chap called Scott Kummer from Chicago. He was quoted saying, "The one thing you cannot do is sweat. If you get sweaty, your race is over, or worse yet, you're dead." Because it'll freeze on you, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, that stuck with me. However, the stunning thing about this is it's been going for about, I don't know, 15 years or whatever, is that nobody yet has died. There's been no mortality. People have been badly hurt,
and
damaged, bitten. Somebody else said you really got to be careful with facial hair because ice accumulates on it. You could be riding along on your bicycle but not really realize that half your face is getting frostbitten.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that was all very sweet. And then there was a thing that I did an interview with the guy who filmed it. His name's Marius Anderson. He's a German. He's living in America with his American wife. And he had a story that I thought, this is very cool in a way. That it's not in the film, but there was a woman who was tired in the middle of the race. And she went to sleep on this special little sleeping mat that she carried. like a yoga mat sort of thing. And she just lay down for a couple of hours because she was just really tired. And then when she woke up, she saw tracks in the snow all around her mat. And she took pictures of them because she thought they looked like dogs, dog tracks. Anyway, she checked later and it was confirmed. Yep, they were wolves. The wolves had noticed her and they came and they sniffed around her and checked her out.
Oh, but, boy.
I know, but they did not kill and eat her. And that conforms to something everything I've ever read about North American wolves is, which is that they've never been known to attack people. Mm. Why? I don't know. But since that's, people have always attacked them,
yeah.
But they've never responded that way. But that had to be an interesting moment. You wake up on your mat, you're miles from anywhere, in the middle of this race, and you look around and there's all these tracks around you. And the only thing I could think was, she's really lucky that it was wolves and not cats. If it had been a mountain lion, it would have killed and eaten her. Why I'm laughing, I don't know, but it's just the difference between cats and dogs. So anyway, so that's going to be next Friday. I'm going to be there. I think it could be a very interesting experience, this film.
No, it definitely sounds like it. And one thing I didn't get out of it, what is the sort of end prize to all this after they done this race?
I think there are awards and everything, and the thought that you've done it, and if you finish, and you've got it, so try to finish. However, there was a very sad story I had to include. There was a chap who was trying to be the oldest guy to finish, and he's a native of Minnesota. I think his name was Coppy, and he was running. That, and running meant he was running, but he wasn't on skis, but he was running along with a couple of ski poles to help him. And he got to 6 miles from the finish, but his back went out. It was so painful, he just could not continue. So he had to stop 6 miles from the finish. He's 74 years old. Mm. I mean, you just say, hats off, man. That's amazing to do 29 miles. Yeah. In those conditions, and is incredible. And it's a pity you couldn't finish, but wow, you know, just wow.
Yeah, it's amazing what the human body is capable of doing sometimes, these things.
Yeah. Yeah, his name was Michael Coppy, K-O-P-Y. Hmm. Yeah, and to be forced out by your bad back.
Yeah.
Just so terrible, yeah. But, hey, so with our winter coming to an end, bit by bit, and having been a fairly cold winter, although not that much snow, really, this is a kind of a final shot from wintry conditions. We can enjoy springtime and watch 40 below and empathize with these people as they struggle on this trail. Yeah, Lord. Oh, man. I don't know. You know, this must be the toughest long-distance race of all.
Yeah, the only thing I can feel like it's on par with it is the, what was the, not the Running Man race, the, it's the one that's the Iron Man race.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's in that world of,
yeah.
of people, men and women, who really want to stretch themselves and challenge themselves and set themselves up against very difficult things, like the Badwater 135 in California, which...
Right.
No, I have no intention. I would never want to do anything like that. That's just too life-threatening. But there are people like that who love that kind of challenge.
Yeah.
And good for them. Right. And honestly, really, in today's world, I think that's more of a challenge than taking the walk up Mount Everest. You know,
but. Yeah, I know there are websites, and I know I met a couple of people in the past life, my past jobs, where they this is what their hobby was. They would save money to do these long, dangerous excursions to mountaintops. And I found it, then he led me onto some websites that there's travel companies that cater to this. If you want this epic experience to go to whatever peak, you could pay this travel agent and they'll set up everything for you. They get you into base camp, all that stuff. So it's thousands of dollars. There is a market for
it. Oh, there's a market for that. There sure is. But the ultra marathoners are a slightly different group. I don't think they have that kind of support.
Right.
But they do need support.
Yeah.
Now we have a race here that comes all the way up from Port Jervis all the way up to Rosendale in Ulster County, that along the ridge.
Yeah.
All the way up from the Kittatinnies up through here, up through the ridge, up through Minnewaska and on to Rosendale. I think that one's about 70, 75 miles.
Yeah.
And that's held in the late autumn.
Mm.
Hey, it's a good thing for people to challenge themselves and take on their own abilities and versus nature. And yeah.
Here I go thinking I was brave for going for early morning walks like on 10 degree weather, but I think that's a little more.
Yeah. And I was thinking, you're commendable. You get out. We had a couple of days this past winter where we got down to 2 degrees.
Yeah.
In the morning, early in the morning when I put out the bird feeders, and I was thinking, well, you know, this is good. I'm helping the birds and to the best of my ability. Although, of course, one's concerned about the bird flu, but I've seen no diminution in the numbers coming to these feeders. There's just a lot of birds.
Yeah.
But, that's nothing. Really, just going out and walking 100, 120 feet is not it. 2 degrees is nothing.
Yeah.
And we note that although this is a cold winter, it's not as cold as we've had much colder winters.
We definitely did have some cold winters in the past and more snow in the past, but I guess because of the past couple of winters have been light, in cold wise, the snow wise, it just feels like this time around it's more. But, Chris, we got to leave it there. We were talking to Chris Raleigh about the articles in the Shawangunk Journal about the helpful local EMS and this documentary called 40 Below that's going to be airing soon in Ellenville. Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining us on the program. I do really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you again next week. Stay tuned on the Local Edition. We have more of the Local Edition coming up for you right after this. We're going to learn about the 4th Annual Poetry Festival that's going to happen on Bethel Woods later this month. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. It's Friday on the Local Edition. I'm your host, Patricio Robayo.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
I want to just acknowledge a certain awkwardness to the work we're about to undertake, which is we are going to be talking, you and I, about a very important film that none of us we'll ever see.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Totally.
I'm Michael Barbaro. That's Today on the Daily from the New York Times.
I'm Mimi Bradley, Radio Catskills Development Manager, reminding you that a great way to keep public radio here in the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania is by becoming a Sound Supporter. Sound Supporters give small amounts, $20, $30, $50 a month or more, that add up to a big help. Plus, Sound Supporters get special thank yous, like drawings for tickets to events in our community throughout the year. Become a Sound Supporter. Go to wjffradio.org.
Welcome back to The Local Edition on a Friday evening. I'm your host, Patricio Robayo. Thank you so much for tuning in and coming back. The 4th Annual Sullivan County Youth Poetry Festival is happening this month on March 29th and is happening at the Bethel Woods Center for the Arts. In the event gallery room, the festival will feature poetry readings from students age 11 to 18, covering diverse and impactful themes along with awards for standout submissions. Also, there will be a Sullivan County BOCES art exhibit at the same time, and on the phone with us now to talk about it is the Sullivan County Poet Laureate, Kevin Graham. Kevin Graham, welcome to the program. Welcome back to the program, I should say. Now, the event's happening on a Saturday. It's happening on March 29th, the end of this month. What can folks expect when they come to the youth poetry at Bethel Woods?
Well, they can expect readings from some students and from me. I'll be talking a little bit about a bunch of different things, community related and poetry related. And there's going to be some awards given out, and those students that win the awards will be reading their poetry as well. Also in the event space is the Sullivan County BOCES art exhibit, which is incredible. And so that'll be there at the time. So you can go around and browse all of that stuff in between readings.
And what different grade levels will there be represented at the festival?
Middle school and high school. So ages 11 to 18, basically grade 6 to 12.
Right. Now, let's talk about, we talked about in the past how art has inspired you and has taken you through your own life. How do you think poetry, how does poetry provide an outlet for young voices in Sullivan County in the community?
And that's, I'm glad you asked that too, because a lot of questions I've been getting is what's the sort of theme for this year? And I specifically do not have a theme for that reason, because I want people to say what's on their mind, basically. Say whatever they're feeling, whatever's going on in their lives, whatever they want to talk about, with no prompt or restrictions or guides or anything. And I think that's a really powerful way of communicating something. You're basically communicating a part of your subconscious to another person's subconscious. And I want to encourage people to write about whatever they feel, whatever comes up for them. And I think that is a powerful way that we can share in each other's journeys and troubles or healing or whatever might be going on. Just roundabout answer a couple of questions there. That's how I believe that it can help, is connecting people through shared experiences and conveyance of those experiences.
When I went to the poetry festival last year, one thing I took away from it was how some of the themes or some of the poems that these young kids wrote and spoke about were some heavy themes. A lot of spoke about problems in their family, marital problems in their family, and what was happening globally. And it was seems like it gave the young children a voice that they may not always have, or folks that may not always listen to what they have to say. And this was a way for them to express what they were feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. I took that away. I went last year as well, and I took that away too. And I think that sometimes as adults, we forget how observant and deep our young people are. And this is at a time in their lives when they're really starting to develop their personalities and their opinions about the world. And they're going through all types of emotional changes and things that really just intensify this. And I think it's a really, aside from anything else, I think it's an interesting time of life to hear about, first of all, just as a spectator. But I also think it's important for the people that are developing, that are doing the writing and the reading, to be able to get this out and to develop that part of them, develop this muscle. It's not about the content. It's not about what they're writing about. It's about the process of the writing that I think is important.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So the fourth annual Sullivan County Youth Poetry Festival is happening on March 29th. Folks can submit. The deadline for submission is happening on the deadline for submissions is March 15th. There is going to be a link, or there is a link on our website now to submit there. Any rules that folks should know about when they're submitting their poem?
There should be some rules there on the submission form. It's just keeping it on the shorter side. So that's another one of the keys, is trying to use efficiency of language and just keeping the poems on a little bit of the shorter side. That's it, though. That's the only rule that I have on there.
And for you, Kevin, I know you've been a poet laureate for a couple of months already, almost a year. Has it been a year already, or a year and a half at least?
Just about. In May, it'll be a year, yeah.
Yeah, wow. Congratulations. If you want to just talk about some initiatives you have done in this past year when it comes to your station as a poet laureate.
I have done a couple of festivals in the community. And one thing that I have ongoing that I actually wanted to talk about briefly is every other Monday, every 2 weeks, on Monday at 7 p.m., I do a creativity, productivity workshop. And I think poetry is a vehicle for it all, creative writing, but it really ends up being a discussion about life and philosophy and, again, creative productivity, actually doing stuff, having a routine, and then also sharing each other's poetry and write and talking about what we like about each other's poetry. The feedback that I've gotten is that it's just a really safe space to share in, and people feel really inspired to write. And I've had several people that have come through this that have increased their productivity and increased their sort of style variance. And it's been a really positive thing. So that's every other Monday. And again, Sullivan County Poet Laureate on Facebook and Instagram. You can find the submission form for the Youth Poetry Festival and also information about this workshop that I do every other Monday.
Oh, that's great. I'm part of myself a writing workshop, and I've noticed in the past couple of weeks how much of that has improved my reporting even. It's a writing group that does free writing, and it's amazing how, just like I said, just work out a muscle. I write every day, but to really to write for myself and to get out your feelings and get out your thoughts, it really does help your writing in other places.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. And I think having that routine, sometimes just cracking the faucet, can really let loose some ideas that you had no idea that were there. And then before you know it, you have a routine, before you have lots of things that you've written that you like. And that's the simple secret to productivity, is just doing it. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So the fourth annual Sullivan County Youth Poetry Festival, again, is happening March 29th at 2 p.m. The deadline for submissions is coming up on March 15th. You could check out the submission guide on Sullivan County Public Laureate Facebook page. And also you could check out our website also for that link. Kevin, before we go, is there anything else we have not touched on you want folks to know about?
No, that's it. I really just wanted to get the word out about the Poetry Festival. We've gotten some great submissions already. And if this isn't just for people, if you're homeschooled or you go to an alternative school or anybody in that age range in Sullivan County, I encourage them to please submit something. And if there's any issue or something's difficult or they can't get the Google document or whatever, they can always just reach out to me on the Instagram or Facebook page, and I can help them with that.
And that's the Sullivan County Poet Laureate on Facebook and at SC Poet Laureate on Instagram.
Correct.
We were talking to Kevin Graham, the Sullivan County Poet Laureate, about the fourth annual Sullivan County Youth Poetry Festival happening on March 29th at Bethel Woods Center for the Arts in the Event Gallery. And the deadline for submissions is March 15th. Kevin, thank you so much for talking to me about this, and good luck at the event. And I'm sure it's going to be a well-attended event like it was last year. So good luck.
Thanks a lot, Patricio.
And that does it for the local edition. Thank you so much for joining me on the program this Friday evening. Thank you to my first guest, Chris Rowley from the Schwanger Journal. And again, thank you to Kevin Graham, the Sullivan County Poet Laureate. You can find the link to the submission that's due March 15th on our website. Visit WJFFradio.org. You not only find that story, but all our stories that we've done this past week and past couple of weeks. You've also signed up for our newsletter, listen to our podcast, or just sit there and look at the screen and enjoy the design for it. So, again, I've been your host for this Friday evening, Patricio Robayo. Thank you so much for joining me on the program. Coming up to you right after this is The Daily, and it starts off your Friday night music mix with the mixtape. Starts things off tonight. Stay safe, everyone. Lucy, have a good night. Everyone else, enjoy. Stay safe this weekend. Don't forget, Daylight Savings Time is on Sunday. Bring forward those clocks. And if you need tips on how to adjust to this daylight savings time fiasco that's happening on Sunday, that's another reason to go to our WJFFradio.org website, because there is a story on our webpage that was done by Tim Bruno on Radio Chatskill. And it talks exactly how to manage this time change, because it does affect the body. So be careful out there this weekend and this week. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Lucy, go to bed already. Good night.
Radio Catskill supporters include the Sterling Business and Technology Park, located at Exit 17 on Interstate 84 in Northeast Pennsylvania, offering opportunities to locate or expand businesses on property zoned for manufacturing and other uses. More information at sterlingbusinesspark.com. And listeners like you who donate at wjffradio.org.
WJFF Jeffersonville, This is Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR.